The Tension Experience is a guided illumination designed to prepare you for a new way to see this world. By design, those who choose this journey can be assured that they will never be quite sure where the events will go, when they will stop, and often what the true motivation behind them actually is. The Tension Experience does not sleep, cater to the weak, or simply exist to amuse you. We want to reshape your beliefs, your fears, and your reality. In order to become one of us, we must know all about you. Further down the road, each participant will be asked to fill out a questionnaire designed to help our institute create specific individual experiences, proselytize, and reap the unique rewards of our service. Those who participate and help create the community will be elevated within our ranks and blessed with new hands-on experiences. That little intro is a blur from a website called The Tension Experience.
You sure it's not a cult?
It sounds very cult-ish. It
sounds real culty.
It is an extreme haunted experience. I don't want to call it haunted house. I call it an extreme horror experience.
Horror
experience. I wish. I wish. Sign me up.
What's the extreme version of that?
An extreme horror experience from director Darren Lynn. Darren Lynn Bozeman, who directed Saw 2, 3, and 4. And that's what we're talking about today in Disquietude. This is our second extreme haunted house episode. We did our first one on McCamey Manor 2 years ago. That's hard to believe. That was two years ago. We talked about extreme haunted houses. We talked a lot about them in general, not just McCamey Manor, but we'll talk about other ones as well. But that experience has evolved now. The popularity of McCamey Manor has made it so where extreme haunts is kind of like its own big industry now. And you get stuff like this. Like, I mean, can you imagine this? The director of the Saw movies is like, hey,
I'm going to get in all those.
Yes, we're going to, have this psychological life-changing experience. No, I don't want any part of that.
Right. No, thank you, sir.
It is a 2.5 hour.
Wow.
They don't even call it, they call it an immersive performance. And I guess the theme behind it is that you are being inducted into a cult. And it says most of it takes place, a lot of it takes place online before you even get there as a kind of augmented reality game, but a 2.5 hour, they call it an immersive performance in a 24 room warehouse in Los Angeles has more than 40 actors. Says no two guests will have the same experience. A lot of times you'll have different paths throughout the warehouse and the outcome depends on your choices, the choices that you make. It says guests are subject to unclothed figures writhing in sand. What is that with
what
nakedness and extreme?
Right.
We'll talk about that.
I mean, it's scary.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
I will say, you've seen It Follows, right?
Yes. Oh, well, yeah.
Someone was naked in there?
Yes, throughout the whole movie.
A lot of the time, the it was naked.
And the thing was, I was watching it with my husband, and he got really annoyed at one point. And he was like, am I supposed to think that's scary? And I'm like, listen, if you're sitting there in your house and some naked old woman just walks in, are you not going to be jarred?
I would be, I don't know about scared. I don't think the purpose of these experiences are to necessarily scare you. Because I think it's hard to scare people nowadays outright. It says the other things you may be subjected to is forced to answer extremely personal questions.
Hmm.
That's unnerving.
Yeah.
I'd rather...
By a naked person, too.
Well, I could run from Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees.
But he
sit me in the chair and he's asking me, like...
Do you owe any money on your taxes?
Right, yeah. Have you ever looked at a pig's butt? In lust, I'd be like, well,
they got cheeks.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable here. Safe word. And then it says, exposed to ethereal sensory experiences, whatever that means, and plunged into total darkness.
What's this called?
It's called The Tension Experience. It's how much does this bitch cost? Because McCamey Manor, for those who don't know, which kind of started this whole extreme haunted, extreme horror experience. I keep saying haunted house, but it's, none of these are really present themselves as haunted houses. They're horror experiences. But to get into McCamey Manor is just a bag of dog food is the price of admission. But the waiting list to get in that thing is
super long.
Well, he claims 2 years. Now, this was pre-COVID. We don't know what it's like
maybe
now.
Maybe he caught up on it.
But mainly because if you know... If you've seen the videos or you know what happens in McCamey Manor.
Everybody got COVID.
Everyone's had COVID.
Fucking
if you went to McCamey Manor
you got COVID.
Last year, you got COVID-19.
If you don't, like the least of your problems.
Right, yeah. If you didn't get COVID, you a tough motherfucker if you didn't get COVID. People puking in your mouth and shit. But yeah, this was one of the more interesting ones that I found. The tension experience. I thought was pretty great. You got to sign that liability waiver.
They all have them. Yeah. And one thing I noticed, I was trying to scope out Reddit for like ask me anythings or whatever. And they all have NDAs. And so nobody really talks about what they went through anymore.
All right. NDA, non-disclosure agreement. And if you sign one and you break it, lawyers will come for you. They will come for you.
Yeah.
If you break an NDA, there is generally repercussions, mainly for a lot of reasons. They do stuff. We talked about this in the last episode. Some of the stuff they do here is borderline illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of it borders on the, it's very sexual themed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's basically they assault you for a long time.
Right. Yeah. They really sexually assault you for like 2 hours and then like, okay, it's on this paper. Don't say shit.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's where the NDAs come in. Plus, they want to protect their brand, so to speak, or like, you know, you don't really want people stealing from you.
Yeah.
You know,
or you also probably don't want people saying, oh, it was just this and this. It wasn't even that scary. Yeah. They just made me do this. And then
although, now, McCamey Manor, though.
Do you have to sign an NDA for this?
Yes. It's like a 40-page
NDA and a waiver. But he's become more open about what goes on there.
Well, I was going to say, but there's like, you can film in there. Like people, I mean.
I think that's him though.
Yeah, he films and releases clips on his website.
Oh, okay.
But I know that I don't know what McCamey Manor is, if he's in the same facility now, because essentially he was running it out of what was his home and he's had to move from place to place for a lot of different reasons. One of them being his neighbors are like, dude, please get the fuck out of our neighborhood with that shit. So he moved to like almost like a ranch or a very open warehouse that from what I understand from people out there in internet land that had been, it was a lot different of an experience than it was before. Essentially now he just took you in a barn and tortured you for 2 hours or however long. Some people said 8 hours. Until you were just kind of sick of it.
A whole working day?
Yeah.
Fuck.
And he seems to enjoy it, actually. Have you ever seen an interview with the guy, he's kind of...
I'd have, yeah.
He loves it. Which he's asking for dog food. So honestly, does he even have 20 grand? I doubt it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. McCamey Manor will offer you $20,000 if you can make it through. But there's kind of a catch. Like, essentially, they'll just torture you forever.
Enough to where you...
Yeah, there's not, like, a set time or anything.
Yeah, it's basically until you give up.
It was a documentary about him, and his wife was pretty much like, yeah, we don't have any money. Because he has spent all of their money on this... haunted house.
Yeah, I mean, well, I remember when we initially did the first episode and we watched, you know, bits and pieces of the documentary and stuff. I mean, it looked like a shithole. So I don't think he has 20 grand. Like, that house doesn't say 20 grand in my pocket.
Nope.
Also, another interesting one I found, and this is one that I would actually do. Now, I probably wouldn't do any of these extreme horror experiences. One, because... I don't want to fight somebody.
Yeah.
And a lot of these places make, one of the things they make you sign on the waiver is that you won't fight nobody.
Yeah.
But, which I can't promise that.
But if you whip your dick out, yeah, you whip your dick out and you chomp it on my face, we're going to fight.
Like, I can't listen.
By the way, that is a real experience that people have noted at Black, was it Blackout?
Yeah.
That they put the genitals on you. Ew. That's not scary.
Like, no.
That's rape, and I'll fight you for it.
There comes a point where my lizard brain will kick in. I lose higher functioning. And that point is when your penis touches my leg and I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah. We're not doing that. You know, I don't wanna seem like I'm like I don't wanna be sexist. So that counts for vaginas too. You know, if I go
didn't ask for it to be there.
Right. Yeah. If I go to Onyx, that's different. I expect a vag or two. On my chest.
Well, you don't want those badges on your face, consent, right?
I came here. Blackout, especially if the lights are off. I don't.
No,
you kind of. You want to see. You know, what's brushing up against you. You want to make sure. Okay, I'm cool with that. No, thank you, ma'am.
You look like a librarian. No, thank you.
Yeah, so, but however, there is one that I would consider going to. It is called The Basement. And what it is, it's actually a series of horror-themed escape rooms.
Oh, I think I did see that
one. And that one looks really, really good. I would do that one for sure. The Basement, The Elevator Shaft, The Study, The Courtyard, and Tandy After Dark are all of these different types of experience. I'll describe The Basement real fast. You and your friends have been kidnapped by Edward Tandy, a cannibalistic serial killer with a fine taste for unique electronics, taxidermy, and of course, human flesh.
He has a taste for electronics?
He likes to eat.
Just biting into them.
He has created a sick and twisted game of sorts in his deceased mother's home. He hopes to weed out the unintelligent and find those who are worthy of escaping by his late mother's standards. In The Basement, you and your team will have to employ Keen's communication skills, finely tuned organizational prowess, and a general ability to keep your shit together, actual quote, under pressure if you want to survive. This is what we like to call a funnel puzzle, where you will find numerous items and clues throughout the room. These items all come together to orchestrate your escape. 45 minutes you have with a moderate scare factor. Each experience has a different scare factor. That sounds cool as fuck to me.
Yeah, I do that one.
Because I like escape rooms. We've been to a few. But sometimes the thematically they seem kind of corny.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the mummy's tomb.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, what was it? Me and Tiff went to one. It was like pirate shit. That one wasn't fun.
Oh yeah.
But the mental asylum was kind of cool.
Oh
right?
Yeah. That one was great.
That one's kind of creepy. Yeah. Right. So, I would do this shit right here.
Yeah,
and plus, no one's gonna drag their nuts across your eyebrows.
That's what I was gonna say. As long as it's not a glory hole, somewhere.
Right? You gotta reach in the glory hole to get to find the key.
Well, I guess I'm stuck in here.
Yeah, like, damn it, no. Oh boy. I kind of actually wanna go to the if anyone out there has been to The Basement, please let me know where that is. That is Ian.
I feel like a lot of these haunted houses and stuff are like in kind of the country.
Yeah.
They're not like
outside of city limits where the laws aren't as tight.
Yeah, right.
The Basement is in LA. All the cool escape. I mean, it's Hollywood. Yeah. You know, you're going to have all the cool shit out there.
It does remind me. I went to this haunted house years ago that's like out in the sticks around here. And it was like supposed to be this lady who had spent decades in like special effects for horror movies. So it's going to be so fucking cool. Right. So we get there and it's huge. It's like the size of it's like an acre. Like, it's enormous. And
Real quick. Hold on. I'm sorry. The Basement has someone is in the room with you. It says it features a live performer that will never touch you. But I think that kind of adds to
what are they doing?
Maybe just staring at you.
They're probably getting closer.
Okay, continue your story.
So we walk through this tunnel where it's like a big like drum that's rotating, right? And the tunnel itself is like this bridge that goes through the drum, and the drum is rotating and like this really crazy funky design, and it's all like glow in the dark inside. So it's like disorienting, basically. You have to walk through that. And then you go to, it's standard haunted house shit. And we took our friend who is one of those people that you love to take to haunted houses because they fucking freak out at everything. And it's so entertaining. and I'm very difficult to scare and things like that. Cause it's just, you know, you see that shit coming. If you've ever been to one, you know what's happening. So we pass through this one room that's just this toilet exploding everywhere.
Wow.
Nasty, dirty toilet water.
Ew.
That sprays in my face.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And then the only like thing that actually freaked me out is this is something that I don't know. I haven't been for years to a haunted house, but have you ever been to one where it's just pitch black? Like the room, the hallway that you have to cross into is just pitch black. You can't see shit in front of you. That's the only part that actually like got to me. But
long hallways are just scary anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't do haunted houses.
You don't?
No, because like either. I said, I'll fight somebody. I don't give a fuck. I don't even go to Scarewinds. For those where we live, there's an amusement park called Carewinds, and during Halloween, it's normally closed. This is normally the off season, but during Halloween they open and they do this thing called Scarewinds. And we went to Scarewinds a few years ago, and the park is open like it normally is, but it's at night, and performers in costume come out and they're scare you. They chase you around, jump out of bushes. Yo, I was ready to fight the whole motherfucking night, yo. Yo, the whole night. Like,
I've never been.
I'll shoot somebody at Scarewinds.
I went one time. Did I go once?
The only Haunted Mansion I do is the Disney shit. And even that, I'm looking at motherfucking sideways.
I was going to ask you guys what the one thing is that you would put in a haunted house that would scare you. Because that part scared me. But now it sounds like all of them.
Yeah, because it's maybe my black person gene just won't allow me. You know, okay, so one of my favorite movies of all time, probably my favorite horror movie, is the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Really?
Yes, mainly because there's no gore in it. There's no blood anywhere in Texas Chainsaw, which you think of course Chainsaw Massacre, but actually doesn't show any. Tobe Hooper did such a really good job of creating like this tension, this creepy tension, and then the tension explodes into violence. Great movie. But the only reason that movie happens is because why? They go in a fucking scary looking house. That's what? The only reason why. And I'm not going in any house. I'm just not walking up. They literally walk up in the house. Hello, is anybody home? And then Leatherface pops out and kills them. That's not happening to any boy. That's not happening to me. So I'm not going to any especially haunted houses. Oh, hell no. This place is, motherfuckers going to jump out at me? No, we're not doing that. I'd rather go to a real, like an actual house that was rumored to be actually haunted than a, you know, a Halloween.
That's so much worse.
No, it's not though, because a ghost, the Black Monk of Pontefract, doesn't make you sign a waiver saying that you won't.
But I'm talking about like your standard fucking 17-year-old douchebag who just wants to take home a $250 check. Okay, right. Like that's half of it's mostly boring. Is my point? It's boring.
Yeah, that's true. I'll still fight.
Mikami Manor is like Squid Games, but
it is the Squid Game. That would be so dope, though.
What if there was? Yes. A Squid Game themed horror haunted house, extreme horror experience would as fuck.
That would be I would do that for 46 billion won. The basement, LA. I want to go there. Let's see, what else? What other ones did I come across that seem okay? So there's a trend here with these extreme horror experiences that I hate, and that is that if you look at these descriptions, like this list that I have here, it's all like basically this is a psychological terror experience that's going to test your senses. Dog, no, that's why they're doing shit like people, like I guess Blackout has a scene where you walk down a dark hallway. By the way, Blackout is mainly creepy because you have to do it by yourself. I think that's one of the things that makes it kind of unsettling. You must go through it alone.
That's you, because then it breaks down my mystique of being the person in the group of friends.
Right.
Like, this isn't shit. Right, yeah. This ain't shit.
So I guess there's a part where you're walking down this hallway and a naked dude.
Oh, these naked people.
Comes running at you with a staple gun. And he tries to staple. Now, there are no staples in the staple gun, but he like staples you to which I'm like.
But then you don't want to accidentally brush.
So that's more. Yeah. That's more. Is that really that scary though?
I'm like, less concerned about the staple, more concerned about foreign wetness.
Right, yeah.
Ew. So
I understand that these extreme horror experiences want to unnerve you, but it feels kind of cringy the way they go about it. Some of them, because McKinney Manor, I heard someone explain it like this. If you gave me some duct tape, a box cutter, and 8 hours, yeah, I'd give you the scariest experience of your life, which is true because that's all McKinney Manor is. And I think a lot of these places didn't want to replicate what he was doing.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, we're going to.
How do we take it and make it our own?
We're going to disturb you, your reality. Dude, come on. just stop.
Can you imagine, though, being that guy, like, clocking out and going home to your wife?
Hey, how's your day at work?
Well, everybody saw my dick and balls.
Like, for instance, there's one called Miasma.
Miasma.
What?
Miasma.
It's Miasma.
Yeah. Miasma.
Also called Death King. Extreme immersive horror experiences.
Did Quentin Tarantino write this?
Invitation only. Enter alone.
Someone, a
review said, Miasma is not fun. It will make you uncomfortable. I have never been more moved by a piece of art. Red Eye Chicago said a whole new level of terror that chews you up and spits you out. Miasma features graphic horror content that may include violence, sexuality, emotional distress, physical intensity. How is sexuality graphic horror content? There they go with the sex thing again.
I wonder where that comes from, putting sexual stuff in these haunted houses.
It says that you must enter alone. You cannot wear glasses and should expect experience.
Bitch, what if I can't see?
I know, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, well, you can't.
Yeah, even better.
You cannot.
It said you should expect to experience exposure to liquids and gels.
Oh, no.
What's the gel?
Oh.
And demanding physical and psychological moments.
No, okay.
You are only informed of the location 24 hours prior to the event. It says you may be bound, forced to crawl, or placed in pitch darkness. I like, this sounds cool, but at the same time, kind of cringe.
No.
Haunting.net said it was like walking away unscathed from a violent car crash. Left me shook to the core. I don't know, man. But you know what? When if you watch videos of people that like give reviews, they're all like stoked after they come out.
It's the adrenaline.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like they made it out.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know, man. I'm going to put a poll. By the way, you can put polls on your podcast now on Spotify. Ooh. I did one for last episode in which 77% of people said they would go into the Aoki Gahara Forest.
Really?
Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to definitely put a poll up for this episode.
I mean, the ice cave looks nice. I'd go
ice
there.
Ice cave does look really cool. Yeah, so Miasma, we will not go. You cannot go there if you have heart or respiratory conditions,
of course.
Seizures, epilepsy, pregnancy, anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress.
Well,
so
that's
essentially everybody.
Back that up.
If you are a human.
I'm excluded.
If you are a human, you cannot do this.
Anxiety and depression. Well, I'm completely removed from that list.
That's, okay. It says Miasma guests. This is funny. Unfortunately, this is not a handicap accessible event. Really? You think?
What
gave that away?
So Miasma's ableist on every level.
Yeah. Says you may experience some or all of the following. Strobe and blinding lights. Dim light or total darkness. Aggressive physical contact. Graphic adult contact. Situational intensity. Emotional distress. Psychological challenges. Constant movement. Crawling on hard surfaces, restraint, electricity, water, nudity, clothing removal and or destruction.
Clothing removal?
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Claustrophobia. This is funny. Demeaning language.
Oh, no.
Edible content. No. Temperature fluctuation. Fog and loud audio.
This sounds like the side effect. Like a commercial. You may
experience. Oh yeah. Our motherfuckers like riding bikes and kickboxing.
It's
and
a
shit.
Herpes medication. Yeah.
Take miasma for your herpes. Hey.
Right.
Oh boy. Rules. Do not run in miasma. Be mindful of every step you take. What if you do run? What if you just run through that bitch in like 10 minutes? And you're like, that sucks. Is there a rule that says you can't run?
Fuck you.
No, be on time. This one, here's why I don't do these experiences. While the actors will touch you,
you can't touch
absolutely
them.
No touching of that's the miasma stupid. Actors will be tolerated and will result in an immediate end to your experience. This includes threatening actors verbally or physically.
What?
No exceptions and no refunds. No.
So you can touch me, I can't touch
so
you.
So here's all, like, I would expect people to act in a natural manner when you are subjecting right. them to these experiences.
Right.
If you don't want them to fistfight your actors, I understand that because you run into some legal shit. But saying threatening verbally, no.
It makes me wonder the psychological profile of the person that has to attend. You know, because I was thinking already when we were reading all the other stuff, I'm like, what is that, like 5 people that can go? And now it's like...
like, do they expect you to just... I guess they expect you to just sit there. If you can't even be like, I'll kill you, motherfucker.
Like, you like, know... what kind of Stockholm bullshit? Right.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Like I said, if you want to say, hey, you can't fight the actors, I get it. A lot of haunted houses do that. Mm-hmm. Like, please don't punch our high school students in the face. But being like, you can't, like... talk to them or threaten them.
And I guess they probably, you know, to some degree want you to train your brain to say, okay, this is a haunted house. This is not real.
Yeah.
But if you try to sometimes your natural reaction, like you said, to somebody touching you or especially the extremes they're going to with these haunted houses, I mean, you're going to have a natural reaction to
especially
say or do something.
If it's sexual in nature. Like, we're joking a lot about dicks on faces, but, like, that's actually something that a lot of people...
And I'm not going to laugh.
Yeah,
when yeah, somebody no, does it's that. Not funny.
Yeah, no, yeah.
It's gross.
Like, someone even said, this shit is not fun. It's, like, unsettling. Well, yeah, if you're being sexually assaulted in the dark, that's not fun at all.
No.
Makes me kind of wonder about the sexual nature of these extreme horror experiences is very odd to me.
And then the people that work there, like, why would you want that to be your job?
Exactly. Well, but hey, there are people probably lined up to be as paid creeps.
Like, okay, who wants the dick job?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Whose turn is it to whip they dick out tonight? It says no glasses. If you absolutely 100% have to wear glasses, you do so at your own risk. You must warn at the time of purchase that you plan to wear glasses during your experience. Failure to do so may result in expulsion. Meaning they're going to break your fucking glasses.
Yeah.
And glasses are not cheap for those who wear them.
Yeah.
Even if you get the cheap shit from China, yes, it's still like $50 a pop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It says all guests must follow all instructions given to them. This may include preparation before the event. During the event, this will include directions or actions you must take. All directions must be followed or your experience will end. A safety word will be provided to those who wish to stop for any reason. A refund will not be given for guests who choose to exit early. Any people that appear to be under the influence of drugs or alcohol will not be admitted. No refund will be given.
Why would you want to do it sober?
Exactly. I'm about to eat these shrooms up. Yeah. And I'm going to fight somebody. All guests must sign a waiver, fully comply. Upon purchasing a ticket, you acknowledge all warnings and voluntarily assume all risks and dangers. And then further directions will be emailed, including the location 24 hours before the event. Listeners, if you do this, come talk to me. Because obviously there's something missing in your life.
Let's figure it out together.
But, you know, that's another thing. When there's a documentary on Netflix. I don't remember what it's called. We talked about it in the last podcast. It talks about McCamey Manor and extreme horror experiences. And there are people that like this. And when I say like, I mean they really want to be subjected to this kind of thing. Like purposefully. They want.
Isn't that a masochist?
Yeah, exactly. It's not me though.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I am a horror buff. Everyone knows that. And I when you guys leave, I'm going to watch the new Candyman movie, although I heard it wasn't all that scary, but I'm going to watch it here in the dark.
I saw it.
All the lights off. And I'm going to maybe be a little bit scared. And Haunted House Experience, I joke that I don't go, but a good fun scare experience is cool. But this shit is not that. This is not trying to be a fun scare experience. It's trying to fuck your entire life.
So there was, I was deep diving on Reddit, and there was somebody who did talk about it, and they were talking about how they, you know, left feeling, you know, that sense of adrenaline and everything like that. But then when they got home, they couldn't sleep.
Right. Yeah.
And then the little sleep that they did get, they had nightmares about the experience. And I'm like, that's called trauma.
Right.
You experienced trauma. Like,
I guess I will say this. I can kind of see the appeal on both sides of subjecting someone to fake trauma. Because
is it fake?
Okay, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Is it really fake though?
Is it fake, all that
but
fake?
It's real. Well, no, okay. It's not fake trauma, but you're never in any real danger. Unless nobody so far, as we know, has
not
died.
Not to the point where you die. No.
Exactly. No one has died from these experiences. Although, based on some of the videos I've seen, you could be like pretty close. If you choke to death on some shit, it
would
not
surprise me. So the only danger we're talking about is dying, not the mental damage that is.
But I think
afterwards.
I think people seek that. Let's be clear. There is a 2-year waiting list to get into McCamey Manor.
Yeah. I mean, I could just get a tattoo and then have that same adrenaline. And
but I feel like you do have these, some crazy people or some people that I just want to do it. I just want to try it. Or even the curiosity of, because there is a part of me that would be curious, but I'd probably only last 5 seconds. I'd go in and be like, forget this. I'm not doing this.
Well, the Netflix documentary, a guy, he didn't even make it into McCamey Manor because they started.
Yeah.
When you're outside.
Oh,
When
you're signing the
They gag you. And
I'd be like, no, never mind.
Yeah. He was like, no. And they were like,
my Uber's here.
You haven't even been in there yet. He's like, no, I'm good.
I gave you the dog food. Goodbye.
Yeah. Right.
We're good.
It's on the house.
Boy. Yeah.
There's no fucking way. Because I play video games. I watch horror movies. I go to haunted houses sometimes. That's where I draw the line. Like, no, I've been in car accidents. I've been in real traumatic events. I don't need to play pretend in trauma to.
So I got a buddy, Air Force buddy. I have a few Air Force buddies that were special forces. And I have a few friends that were flight crew. And if you're flight crew or special forces in the Air Force, you go through this type of survival training. You know, if you're air crew, it's in case you get shot down, or, you know, what to do if you're shot down, the enemy's looking for you, or if you get captured. And they're not allowed to say what goes on in that training because it's classified. Mm. But the little bit that my friends have told me, they're like, dude, you don't want to go through this training. And it's not real, but they are training you because, like, hey, this shit could really happen. So you ever see, y'all see G.I. Jane?
No.
With Demi Moore?
No, but I know of it.
So there's a scene in the movie where they put them through that. I can't remember what the name of the training is. I'm getting old. But they put them through this training. They drop them off on an island out in the middle of nowhere. And they get caught by the enemy. And they essentially torture them. Their instructors are essentially torturing them. And there's one scene where they act like they're going to rape Demi Moore's character, and they don't, but the I don't want to call them recruits, but the people going through the training at this point don't know if it's real or not.
Yeah.
Because the experience is so traumatic.
Yeah.
And that, and I don't know if that really happens. I'd be shocked actually if that really happened in the military where they're like, hey, we're going to pretend to rape you.
But might just be the Hollywood version of it.
That's what I'm thinking. But I do know that they, my buddy was like, dude, they're going to do stuff to you that they would consider, that most people would consider to be torture to put in. And so think about that. That is the military doing that to you so that if it happened to you in real life, you could survive. These motherfuckers will charge you $150 bucks to do the same shit to you.
Yeah.
For no
reason.
And
you got to sign a paper saying you won't take legal action against them. You pay $150 to get some military. So if you want it for free, just join the Air Force, join the flight crew, and you get the same experience for free. Wow.
So I came across this place. It's not really, I mean, it's a haunted house, but it's more of like, I guess, like what we're calling haunted experience. But it's this house in, oh gosh, I just drew blank on where it is. But, oh, it's in New York. But not the city. But it's called the Shanley Hotel. And it has kind of like a long history, but it was built in like the 1800s. And then it was like a vacation spot. Like people, you know, would go there and vacation. And then it became a gentleman's club. And then there was like a neighborhood fire. It got burned complete to the ground. Then it, like 9 months later, it was rebuilt and reopened. And then over the course of years, it's been owned by like all these different people. But there was a guy named James Shanley, him and his wife were the first people to own it after it was rebuilt. And like for some reason, kids kept dying like around. Like so him and his wife had three kids. All of their kids, like the first daughter died before she was even 6 months old. I can't remember how they all died. And then the other two after her died before they even reached 10 months old. And then like some little boy was riding down the street, like on the same street where the hotel was. And he just jumped out. And then his dad accidentally ran over and killed him.
That's some shit out of Hereditary. Like,
yeah. Right. So they were saying.
It's this very haunting of Hill House.
They think the spirits in the house, you know, I don't know if these people died in the gentleman's club, but the spirits from the gentleman's club when the house or when the hotel burned down feel like the gentleman's club is no place for children. So they're getting rid of the kids.
Oh my God.
So this hotel now, like you can go stay there overnight and get like a real, like if you go to their site, they have like, they call it under evidence. So they have like real EVP recordings of people who have stayed there.
Wow.
So they give you like this little EVP recorder.
That's cool.
And like
that's what
you
the
can,
Cecil should do.
You can like ask the, you know, you can ask questions and then once you play it back, you can hear like the responses. Obviously like a lot of EVP recordings is really hard to understand, but like, it was pretty cool. I was like, I don't know if I'd stay there, but.
See, that's the haunted house thing that I would probably do. Because it would be, that's scary enough, right? Like you're
right, yeah. Because it was like, I mean, some of the recordings they have, like one of them, it was like, do you want us to leave? And the ghost was like, fuck you. And so I was like, okay, that would be my cue to leave.
Me as a ghost. The fuck out.
Right. It was like, and then they was like, yes. And yeah, it was pretty interesting though. But I would probably do that one before I do McCamey Manor or anything that.
Because that's actually scary. Like,
right.
Because visually everything seems fine. It might be a little creepy. But then like there's some form of media that tells you like, nah, that shit ain't fine. Like,
right. Yeah. And I mean, from what they say, I mean, they do make you sign a waiver. And it doesn't seem like anybody gets hurt or anything. Like some creepy stuff kind of happens in the house, like lights turn off and on and stuff. But it seems like for the most part, it's just the voices. You can actually hear them talking in the house. And it's like some of the videos, people were like actually having full on conversation with the ghost. So like, are there dead people down here? The ghost is like, yes. Like, well, how many bodies are down? I was like, wait a minute now. They having like a whole conversation.
This motherfucker awfully chatty.
Right.
Speaking of haunted places, have you guys ever heard of Eastern State Penitentiary?
Penitentiary.
Yeah, the Eastern State Pen is in Penn. It's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mm. Yeah, it was famously featured on a show on MTV called Fear. Came out in 2002. Mm-hmm.
We talked about that.
Yeah, 19 years ago. Holy shit, I just suddenly felt old. Wow, that show really came out 2 decades ago. But so for a lot of our listeners who probably like, what the hell is he talking about? There used to be a show on MTV in which they would take people. It was a reality show, but they would take them and they would put them in these places that were supposedly really haunted with these selfie cameras.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, like the
show.
Old school like GoPro.
Right.
GoPros
before GoPros. Yeah. And they would have to do these like challenges in these haunted places. And it was really creepy. Really, really good show. And a lot of the scares were like manufactured fake shit. But some the places were creepy. And one of the episodes was in the Eastern State Penitentiary.
The pen.
Where that is actually supposedly really haunted. Well, now it's actually an extreme horror experience. And it looks really cool because they've turned the entire prison facility into this giant haunted horror experience.
They don't do it for October. When I was looking at the website.
Are you trying to go?
I mean, kind of low key, but I watched the same show as him. And like, I remember they did one on like the Queen Mary or whatever. And this one, I can't remember if it was this episode where they like made somebody do like a fake hanging where they like it. One of the challenges was like they had to go up to one of the highest points. And I think it was this episode in the penitentiary. In the prison. And she had to go up and do like a fake hanging at like a gallows, like a makeshift gallows.
I remember that.
Yeah. And I remember like she did that. And then the episode got like, it went off the rails because that's when like a bunch of weird shit started happening. People started feeling like touches on them and shit. And, yeah.
Well, now there's four haunted houses actually on the prison now. Some of them are more traditional haunted houses, and then some of them are like the extreme horror experiences where people are allowed to touch and grab and stuff. You visit the cell blocks, and this is a interesting feature. It's like including new exclusive narration by actor Steve Buscemi. That's scary as fuck.
Isn't it interesting how any facility or any place can be haunted? Like a hospital, a school, hotel.
We talked about this last week's episode, talking about the Aoki Gohara Forest. Places that have a lot of negative energy tend to be. You never hear about like
Disney World. No.
I think the Disney haunted parks Disney. Are haunted, but whenever you hear about a place that's haunted, it's always because some fucked up shit happened there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's never like...
this was a happy place and...
Right. It's, you would think a prison, especially...
It's never like the community garden.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Eastern State Pen, where they executed people, apparently, in the electric chair. There was even one scene in MTV Sphere where you had to sit in the electric chair for 5 minutes by yourself that you couldn't take a partner
with
you.
Hell no.
And I'm like, fuck that. And an old prison, dark, there's no power in the motherfucker either. At least it wasn't then.
It's not even that, though. It's that sitting where somebody died. Like, you know for sure.
Which I think that was... I don't think that was the actual electric chair. But still. I'm not doing that. I'd be like, I lose, y'all win. But that would be. I like the idea of like this entire essentially theme park of horror.
That would be fun.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. So those of you that live in the Pennsylvania or the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area, you can go and you can hear Steve Buscemi educate you about this prison. It's also got bars and lounges. So after you get sexually assaulted, you can go have a drink.
Just drink it off. It's fine.
You'll be good.
Drink it down.
And speaking of drink, I'm going to make one right now while we listen to this word from our sponsor, Anchor.fm. And we're back. Disquiet 2, we're talking about extreme horror experiences, which is a new trend that has kind of taken over the nation in the last few years. Although I'm sure in post-COVID society, probably died down a little bit. Because I don't want people spitting in my mouth during a global pandemic. I don't want that. I don't care how many vaccination shots I've had. This is not something that I trust very much. But that is something that happens at these places. And I can't figure out why people want to do it. Actually, I do know why people want to do it. People like being scared. You know, there's a big psychology around horror movies, and people like being scared. I don't watch horror movies to be scared.
Me either.
Because they don't really scare me, but no. I like seeing macabre, borderline disturbing stuff. Like,
it's entertaining.
It is. I mean, that's why I watch the Faces of Death videos, because they're just kind of weirdly entertaining to me.
Well, everybody likes to come right up to the edge of death and then you escape it, right? And that's the fun of it. Is yes. that you're
and,
not dead.
You know, and I think that's what people get out of these experiences. Even though it's not real, it's real enough to make you think.
Your body doesn't know.
Exactly. For a split second, your brain. Okay, so it's very easy to trick your brain.
Yeah.
Okay? I know this because I've been practicing magic for 20 years. I can make people think whatever I want them to think. You know, you really did pick this card out of thin air. They'll fucking believe it. But so one of the things I love doing is gaming in VR. Okay. And what I love about VR more than anything is it tricks your brain into thinking that shit is real.
Yeah.
It'll be the most basic ass fucking graphics in VR, but your brain really thinks this shit is real. Yes. So if anyone out there has played Half-Life Alyx, which is probably the greatest virtual reality game on the market right now, okay, there's a part called Jeff. And Jeff he's a monster in the game. He cannot see you. He's like a giant mutant. If he sees you, he will chase you and he will kill you. Okay. He cannot see you, but he can hear you, and you have to get through an abandoned vodka factory in order to get past him. So he's in this.
So it's like the quiet place. You gotta.
Yeah. But it's a vodka factory. So there are glass bottles fucking everywhere. And if you accidentally break one, Jeff will come to your location, and that's part of the game mechanic is that you have to lure Jeff away. You have to lure Jeff away from your location.
I hope there's people out there that watch What We Do in Shadows, because just the name Jeff to me is hilarious. Yes.
You know, Blade was on an episode of What We Do in Shadows.
I know. I fucking love that show.
But there was when I was playing Half-Life Alyx one time, I was down here playing it and I fucked up and bumped a shelf.
Oh no.
And it broke a bottle. And Jeff was maybe like 3 or 4 feet away from me. There's one part in the game where you have to get really close to him. And
Is Jeff a person?
He's
like a monster.
Yeah,
right?
He used to be a person and he turned into like this mutated, this really disgusting.
I'm trying to visualize this in my head.
Yeah, just look him up on the internet. He's really gross looking. Yeah. I mean, he looks like a giant kind of mutant guy. But I bumped the shelf and I broke a glass bottle and Jeff immediately turned around and started running after me. Now, imagine me down here with a virtual reality headset on and I know I'm playing a video game, but my brain thought it was real. Oh, so I took off running and yanked the VR cable out of my computer and I knocked over a bunch of shit. Sarah comes out. She's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, for a split second, my brain
thought was probably beating off ass.
Like my instincts just like fight or flight. Like, okay, you're not fighting this dude because you can't kill Jeff. That's part of the game mechanic. You cannot kill him.
So so in this game, how do you get away from him?
You have to distract his position. He cannot see you. He can only hear you. So, and also he emits these spores into the air that make you cough. So you have to cover your character's mouth. with your little VR head. So they can't hear you, and you sneak past him, and you have to like throw a vodka bottle in a direction.
If he starts running after you.
You could actually, he'll run to your location. So you actually could run away from where you were, but you can only go so far because you got this VR cable on, and I don't have like a VR treadmill like Ready Player One or anything like that. So you actually use the controllers to move, but instinctively, my brain is like, oh shit, run. And I just run, and I end up crashing the game because I yanked the VR headset out. So I said that to say that during these extreme horror experiences, you know it's not real, but do you know it's not real? Does your brain? There, I'm sure there comes a point at McCamey Manor or Blackout or the basement where you're thinking, this might be real. I might have fucked up here. I really think that. And then, of course, you get through it. You don't die. And then you get that.
The high.
Yeah, you get that rush that kicks in like, holy shit. Your brain's like, yo, I just survived, because your brain doesn't know it's fake.
But that's why they do like the post horror show interviews immediately after.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're not going to come back the next day and be like, what'd you think about that?
Right. They'd be like, you know, now that I couldn't sleep, I'd like to take you guys to court. I think that's what it is with these places. They want to take you right to the edge. And to be fair, the only way they can really do that is to get touchy-feely. But but think about the difference it makes in the experience.
Listen, if a naked man came up to me and started asking me a bunch of crazy-ass questions about my life, I would be thrown the fuck off. And then they like were like, here, you have to eat these bugs. Like, I would, I don't know. Yeah. I don't need them to touch me.
I'm not eating no damn bugs either. Seer training. That's what it's called. It just popped in my head.
I was like, wait a minute, what?
Survival, evasion, rescue, something. Seer training. Because they make you eat bugs in seer training, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so any other ones? There's the Haunted Hoochie.
Ooh, that's what you call horror.
Yeah, Haunted Hoochie horror. Is in Pataskala, Oklahoma, or Ohio. Yeah.
What happens?
Says
there?
You can see demons spouting flames, women bound and gagged on the floor, blood drenched rednecks wielding machetes and power tools.
But where's the hooch?
Dragged on the floor. It said it's like the gathering of the juggalos as a haunt.
That's not scary.
You know, we got a bunch of listeners that are juggalos. Power to you guys. I love you guys.
Listen, y'all threw a bunch of shit at one of your gatherings, like literal shit. Please don't do that.
Was it mixed with Faygo?
I mean, probably. Soda? Yeah,
then it's okay.
I think they Faygo's threw shit great, at Tila Tequila. And to be fair,
she's a Nazi too. So
yeah, I get y'all were ahead of the game on that.
Yeah,
one.
they knew what we didn't know. it says at the Haunted Hoochie, you're liable to get taken out of nowhere, thrown over someone's shoulder, and confronted with what appears to be one of many chainsaw wielding psychopaths.
The Haunted Hoochie.
Okay, let me tell you this. You throw me over your shoulder, we fighting. I don't give a fuck what we sign. I do not care what we sign. You know what? And they're like, no refunds. It'd be worth it to beat your ass.
Right.
You can gladly keep my $100 so you can catch these hands if you throw me over your damn shoulder.
And then what dude is going to allow somebody to throw them over?
Yeah, first of all, yeah. That's not happening. Yeah. You're going to have to kill me, bro. He ain't going to pick me up like I'm
right. like a rag doll.
Fucking damsel in distress. That's not gonna happen. I'll tell you that much. Oh my god. Listeners, I know there's somebody out here that has done this. Please hit us up with one of these stories. I gotta know what this is like. There are a lot of good Reddit threads on it though. It's hard to know who's, you know, people on Reddit just lie.
Some of it's complete bullshit. Yeah, I'm like, there was one, I was like,
several paragraphs deep on a story that was relatively interesting. And then I realized when I got to the end of it and it went like severely left, I was like, oh, I'm in the no sleep thread.
Oh, no. Like, no sleep, by the way, that was actually a great subreddit.
It was a good story.
Yeah, I read like one or two stories before I go to bed. Okay, so I guess let's take it back to the beginning. This is how we're going to end it. McCamey Manor. There was actually a woman who spoke out against McCamey Manor.
Uh-oh,
a few
she
years
broke that
back.
NDA.
Yeah, she did break the NDA. Russ McCamey, who runs McCamey Manor, mm-hmm. says, they know the truth. I have footage of everything because he takes the footage. He said, I tell people they'll get cuts and bruises. It's very aggressive. But these people were not injured like they say they were. And they all knew what they were getting into. So a woman named Amy Milligan was told her story to the San Diego Union-Tribune. She said her experience was traumatic. She said she gave the haunt a positive review in her exit interview because she wanted the haunt to produce a video of her tour so that she could have evidence of what happened. So the video was posted on YouTube and it shows her being pushed to the ground, pulled by her hair and slapped while being picked up and driven in a van to the manor. So she ain't even got to that bitch yet. They start fucking you up before you even get there.
She didn't even
there.
Sign the NDA yet.
Yeah. They're like, okay, so at that point, I might be like, is this part of this shit? Yeah. Or does some motherfucker just really
yet.
Kidnap my ass and start beating
it's
my
not
ass?
Not a haunted house at that point. Yeah. Because you're not even in there.
Now, it says, shortly after they arrive at the home, the screen goes blank. A subtitle appears saying, I cannot show you what takes place. When the footage resumes, Amy is shown lying in a freezer in a few inches of dark colored water, blindfolded, while actors pour water over her head. So she appears cooperative and willing to play her part in the experience. Early in the experience, she appears slightly defiant and even amused, and then more concerned as the tour intensifies. Later in the video, another section of the footage is edited out. When action resumes, she is shown soaking wet and seems terrified. She said that video was edited to hide the worst. She said it doesn't show where she was forced to lie down with her hands bound in a shallow pool of water with a cage over it. The actress repeatedly pushed her head underwater with her hair wrapping around her neck, and then she begged them to let her go home. She kept yelling, I'm going to die here. I'm going to drown. My hair is wrapping around my neck, and I start freaking out. I'm telling them I can't breathe, and they're just laughing and doing it more. Russ McCamey would not confirm the existence of the cage, but he said there's a lot of water involved and people will feel like they're drowning. He said, quote, we do not waterboard. We do not even kind of waterboard. It's psychological what we're doing. They're safe all the time.
If you shove somebody's head in a puddle of water, that's no, it's not waterboarding. You're legit just shoving their head into some fucking water.
Yeah, waterboarding is something different.
It's where you have like a rag over your face, right?
Well, they put a rag over your face and then they pour water over the rag.
And it makes it feel like you're drowning.
Makes you feel like you're drowning.
But you're not.
And you're not.
But this is just legit drowning.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I was going to say.
We don't waterboard. We drown.
The whole point of waterboarding is to actually be safe, although we recognize it as torture now under the Geneva Convention. But that's the whole... They don't want to kill you. They want you to think that we're going to kill you by simulating drowning. That's why the CIA doesn't just dunk your head in water.
Yeah.
Okay. McCamey Manor's
like, nah.
No, we're just going
to do that shit.
Yeah. We're just going to actually drown you in water. What the fuck? But here's the thing. You know that that's what you're signing up for. Right. That's why we don't do trigger warnings on Disquietude, right? Like, you know, when you come to our podcast, but you know what you're getting.
If you make everybody sign NDAs, do you know for sure? Or could you just be like, oh, maybe it's just rumor?
So the thing is we've heard the stories.
Right.
So
you
either believe them or you don't. Mm. Either you're like, that's bullshit. I'm going to find out. And then you find out and you're like, okay, that's not bullshit. And I'm
fuck
mad. Right. Yeah. Fuck around and find out. Or you believe the stories and you're like, yeah, I want some of that. The comments here, by the way, the comments for this particular, this is an article in the San Diego Union Tribune, by the way. Spencer Bromley, hope he's a listener. He's a game advisor at GameStop. He said, with all this being said, maybe wimps shouldn't go through the manor. Disneyland might be a better option for you people.
Oh, fuck off.
Mr. Game Advisor. Actually, Disneyland might not be a better option based on what we know about Disneyland. You might get fucked up more at Disneyland.
What is a game advisor?
I don't know.
It's a fancy schmancy name for a cashier.
He's the guy that asks you if you want to pre-order 8 Call of Duties.
He's Disneyland. The one spending $29.95 on the foreman.
I wonder, would he do games. It? Would he go through it? Does he consider him to
okay,
be
this is
non-win?
Odd. Okay, I'm going to say this comment because I am a terrible person. But so which I'm just going to tell you her name, and we're going to laugh at that. We're going to get this out of the way.
Okay.
And then we'll go on to her comment.
Okay.
And then I guess we'll end the show on this note.
No.
this can't be a real comment. Melissa Moorcock. She is a system support engineer at Wells Fargo. Melissa, if you're listening, dear, we love you on this quietude.
Listen, I'm going to say this as a friend. Please change your name.
Yes. Melissa. Hey, or embrace it.
Hey, well, hopefully she's not
married
yet.
Get a shirt that says it. Married, yeah. Whichever.
She can change your life.
Melissa Moorcock says, it amazes me how many people think a waiver overrides the law, which is, she's right here.
Yeah.
There is no NDA waiver that can supersede illegal or criminal activity.
She works at Wells Fargo. She should know.
She said, you can consent to someone beating you with a fligger. What the fuck is a fligger?
I don't know, but that's telling a line. I'm not going to say.
What the? Listeners.
I'm not reading that comment out loud.
Google break. What is a fligger?
There's a flogger, which is a whip.
A fligger.
Was that a Freudian
slip? You don't
want to
know what. I am not going to say what.
Oh,
there Urban Dictionary says.
Yes, I just read what the Urban Dictionary. Use your imagination.
I don't know what she meant. Maybe she meant flogger.
She may have. There was a typo.
That, okay.
Yeah, that's what we'll call it.
She did this on her phone, and the phone auto-corrected.
I don't know.
Auto-corrected to
the flicker.
How many times has she flogger typed that flicker. Word that
right,
is
exactly.
added to her dictionary?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, all right. So Melissa Moorcock says... You can consent to someone beating you with a fligger. But if that person puts you in a hospital, you have every right to press charges. I agree with her there. If Amy felt what they were doing put her life in danger, she has the right to complain. Okay. I think that if they injure you,
right,
then they should be liable.
Which I think we covered that they have injured people. There was one that I was just reading about that they were like, on their main page, they say black eyes happen.
But We may have touched on this the last episode we did on this, but like legally, what, like how binding is that piece of paper?
I feel like if you have medical bills associated with
okay, let me ask you this. If you're on a jury in a civil case that someone brings up against an extreme horror experience, saying that they have PTSD or physical injuries, and that person signed a waiver.
Well, it probably depends on what's in the waiver. What are you waiving?
I am certain that these waivers are probably very detailed. Russ McCamey, apparently it's 40 pages.
Yeah, it definitely includes bodily injury, right?
Right.
But you can't ask me that question because I'm biased because I don't like that guy. As soon as you say it's McCamey, man, I'll be like, throw him under the jail.
I mean, I guess it constitutes, like we said, waivers cannot, you can't waive illegal activity. But is... giving someone a black eye for something they signed up for, illegal activity.
Nah.
I don't know. I'm really surprised that there aren't more. First of all, I think most people are either just afraid or ignorant of what the way, like how much power does a waiver have?
Yeah.
Like you sign a waiver. Okay. Then what if you ignore the waiver? Then what?
Okay. Well, doesn't that just mean that they you're waiving your right to hold them liable?
But yes, but that doesn't really
it doesn't, makes me Sorry.
Go ahead.
It makes me think about, like, have you ever been to those little, like, tiger sanctuaries or whatever? So, yes. Like, they have, like, these big cat sanctuaries you can go to where it's
Tiger King Part 2 comes out. Anyway, continue.
So I've been to a couple of those, and you have to sign, like, something that says, you know, if you stick your fucking hand in the cage and it gets ripped off, we're not at fault because you're stupid as shit and you shouldn't have stuck your hand in a cage.
That's different. A jury would say, well, yeah, you're dumb because you stuck your hand in that cage.
At no point does an employee take your hand, shove it in the cage and say, here you go.
Essentially, waivers say, we are not responsible for something you do.
Yeah.
But these waivers say, we're not responsible for something we do.
Yeah.
So what if, like, I want to say there have been times I do, like, a lot of workout classes and boxing and stuff. You sometimes sign something, like, where if you die, like, if some, or, like, not if you die, because then you obviously can't do anything, but, you know, like, if something happens to you, they're not liable.
But that's...
Because you know what you're getting yourself into. You could potentially, you know, especially if you have any, I mean, they'll ask you if you have any health issues or whatever.
But you could have one that you don't know about.
Right, exactly.
And so that's where they're covering their ass in the sense of, like, we're not asking you to disclose that. You may not even know it. But if something
I think a jury would say, look, you kind of knew what you were.
That's what I think. Yeah. Because, I mean, you.
I don't know. When they start reaching in people's mouths with pliers
I can't speak for McCamey Manor because they're actually rather vague on the site.
Right. About what you don't know what you're
getting. But some of these places,
into.
Like Miasma, I mean, it tells you, like.
Yeah, that's different.
Like, you might
hey, you're going to get a dick in your face.
Right. Yeah. There'll be dicks and balls.
Because I guess, how does the waiver work if you don't know what you're getting yourself
into? Well, then you shouldn't sign it.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're smart, but, you know, there are some people that do.
But their lawyers are going to say, you sign this, right?
Yeah.
And this and this piece of paper says that you understand all 40 pages of it. And I don't think you'd have a lot of, I think it would depend, like, if someone died, then that would be different. Because we've seen in amusement parks where, you know, essentially on your ticket, it said, it's like a waiver saying, hey, you buying this ticket essentially says that we're not liable for if you fly off a damn roller coaster. But people die at amusement parks, and typically there ends up being litigation and a lot of times a settlement. And I think if someone was hurt at one of these places, then I do think that we would see someone go to court over it.
I tried to Google it just now. How many settlements has McCamey Manor paid out? And I can't find anything. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just not digging hard enough here.
He probably keeps that under wraps. Because here's another thing. These places have to be careful because let's say you find out that a motherfucker came up on a quarter mil at McCamey Manor. Okay. Now I might go to McCamey Manor and purposely get fucked up so I can sue them and make $250,000. You know, that's probably why it's hard to find that information.
It makes me wonder if it just hasn't happened yet or if he's...
Oh, I'd be shocked if it hadn't happened.
His SEO is insane, dude. As I was just trying to look into extreme haunted houses, McCamey Manor comes up 30,000 times. Like,
I mean, it was maybe not the first really extreme horror experience, but it was certainly the most
first,
publicized.
Like, viral, yeah.
I mean, I remember hearing about McCamey Manor long time ago, back in the mid-2000s is when I first heard about it. And I was like, what the fuck? This is insane. This is the dumbest shit I've ever heard of.
And I also bet that... Because you sign the waiver when you get to the manor, right? Yeah. Nobody has time. Nobody's reading that.
No, for sure not.
I think that's part of why they do it. I mean, you're not going to show up with a team of lawyers. You know, let's do that.
I would.
I'd be like, hold on.
Pause.
Yeah.
I have my attorney.
Well, because, you know, the thing that I think is weird about, like, the footage that we've seen where they're roughing people up when they're signing the waiver in the NDA, that seems almost like coercion, right?
I was gonna say that is illegal. Yeah,
yeah.
I think that you could make a case that waiver, those contracts don't hold up because you were being, you had your hair pulled and getting duct taped
and shit already.
Right. I could certainly see a court saying, you know what? But I'll say this. McCamey Manor seems like the least sophisticated of these experiences. If you go to Blackout site or especially the Tension experience, like that website is very, I don't want to use the word classy, but the production,
really putting on the Ritz, yeah, there.
The production values for things like Blackout and things like that are very, very high.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like McCamey Manor comes off as kind of cringy at times.
Something like escort versus street prostitute. Like, you're an escort, you're a little bit more classy. Versus.
I go with that. I just feel like, and if you read interviews with people and other people in the industry, they all have like this very low opinion of Russ McCamey and McCamey Manor. Kind of like, yeah, all he does is some like
torture,
like fake torture shit or real torture shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's not, a lot of people are like, that's not really scary. Like,
here we make you eat bugs.
Yeah. We walk around naked. Right. Okay.
We are high class. Yes.
We're not just going to spit in your mouth.
We drink Patron. Yeah.
Actually, you spit Patron in my mouth. I mean, there are a few places I've been to that are not extreme horror experiences where I've had Patron spit in my mouth. And I was not upset. I was not traumatized. Did not sign a waiver. Here's how we'll end it. Baba Dewey.
Shut up.
Baba Dewey, that's the commenter's name, says,
oh gosh,
why would you trust these people? They look like schizos. I am with you. They're 100% Baba Dewey. Do not trust these people.
Like, yeah. Like,
do not trust these people. But if you do decide to trust these people and go to one of these extreme horror experiences, please let us know. Please let us know. I want to hear it directly from the source, what it's like. And then I can really decide not to go to one of these things. So,
or if you want to save the time, just get a little high, watch Eraserhead in the dark. And it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah. Eraserhead, Iron Man Tetsuo, a Serbian film. Just start watching those really fucked up movies back to back.
You'll get the same feeling.
Yeah.
And nobody will touch you unless you touch yourself, and that's your business. So.
No, but yeah, nobody will.
Which also, if you do that to a Serbian film, no, don't.
No, yeah, no, God, no.
Something's wrong with you.
Yeah, don't.
We try not to judge, but I'm a judge right there.
I will, yeah. All right, so ladies, we going to one of these or not?
No. I want to do the actually haunted place with ghosts.
I would do that. I do want the basement, the escape room. I kind of want to do that. I think that'd be really fun with a group of friends.
As long as the guy has pants on.
I'm thinking he's wearing pants.
Oh, I forgot about the person in the room.
I mean, he's a cannibal. He's a serial killer. And I remember hearing about an escape room. This is a few years ago, in which there's a zombie in the escape room
and he's on a chain.
And
the chain gets longer. Or whatever.
Runs out. And yeah, I think that would be really, really cool. Really unique experience. Stuff like that, I would certainly do. That sounds fun. Getting genitals in your face.
No, thank you. That's not fun.
I mean, it can be.
Because I feel like every time I close my eyes, that's all I'd see.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. So hopefully you guys have a good October, good Halloween. You're watching horror movies and you're thinking about going to one of these haunts. If you are, just be safe. Be sensible.
Know what you're getting into.
I'd be really interested in how they're doing this post COVID.
Are they all wearing masks?
Yeah. Yeah.
I doubt that.
Well, you know, the Delta variant.
Yeah. Hey, you can drown me, but the mask stays on. All right. That's going to do it for this week. So next week, here's what I want to do, ladies. Each of us is going to study. Yeah, we got some homework this week. Yes, we do homework on this quietude. I know it doesn't seem like it because sometimes we're like, how do you pronounce penitentiary?
Listen,
listen, just because you read it doesn't mean you say it out loud.
Right.
Don't lie.
We do a fair amount of research here for people that have 9-to-5s. But everyone pick, based on your research, what you think is the most haunted place in America. We'll keep it America.
That's going to be a hard one.
Yeah. And then each of us brings our location to the table and we compare what is the most haunted place in America. Okay. Because we're from North Carolina. Our listeners that don't know, North Carolina is a pretty haunted place. There, we have a lot of ghost stories here, but I think there might be some other places.
We're in one of
you can either now you can either pick you can pick a region, a city, a building, or a area, a location, a place.
I will say, and I've been to Long Island by the not penitentiaries, the asylums.
Ah, yes.
And my friend took me out there, and we were walking around the not close, but we were close enough to where you could kind of see inside the smashed out windows. And that shit had some dark energy.
Oh yeah,
like it was not.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. A place that you think is just the most haunted place, and we'll bring them to the table, and we'll see what the viewers decide. I'll leave them a little poll. What do you think is the most haunted place? But I tell you what's not haunted: these extreme horror experiences. Visit them at your own.
Haunted by some stank ass farts.
I'm sure there. You know, there's one where they fart in your face. You know there is one. No. You just know
as
it.
As soon as I said it, I was like, I know they do it. You know they do it.
See, we fighting. You fart in my face, dog.
He's like, I heard Teenage Loopers.
Hey, like I said, fuck an NDA, fuck a waiver. You're not allowed to do that.
You fart in my face. You fart in your face.
Yeah, we're finished here. We are finished. Can COVID travel? That would be the worst way to catch COVID. Like, how'd you COVID?
Like, man. That was so peak pandemic before vaccines. I was actually researching how the fecal plumes pass COVID.
God, I mean, technically, it would.
Yeah,
right?
It's from your doo-doo, and that's how people in New York got it so easily in buildings. They thought it was the AC, but it wasn't. It was vents where people would flush the toilet after they took a shit, and their fecal plumes would go through the vents.
Holy shit!
Yeah, and yeah, their neighbors would get.
So you don't have to go to McCamey Manor.
Doo-doo germs
to get doo-doo. Voodoo germs. Just moved to New York.
What?
Wow. Yeah, that's a great ending point for this episode.
Is.
So once again, thanks to all of our listeners. You know, we passed 40,000 total views. We may have mentioned that was that last week or this week? I don't remember.
Time has no meaning.
Yeah. So, but thanks for everyone that helped us get there. That's a lot. 40,000 total listens for a podcast is actually a lot, because a lot of people quit. We did not quit. We persevered through the pandemic. Thanks, guys, for sticking with us.
And also, the responses that we got on social media were really great. And it was great to see some familiar faces pop up in the DMs. Like, hey, to y'all all. I hope you're doing good.
Yeah, absolutely. The fan interaction is what drives us, gaining new fans and hearing from them. So, keep it up, guys. Be sure to check us out on Instagram, Disquietude Pod, Facebook, Disquietude, YouTube, Disquietude Stories, or go to our website, www.disquietude.net. You can hear us on every major podcasting platform, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Leave a review, interact with us. Tell us how much we suck or how great we are.
No, just give us 5 stars, please. We work hard at this, even though it may not seem like it sometimes. Bite me.
Yes.
But we love you.
Yes. Buy Allie because she didn't sign a waiver.
You already know I'll hit you.
That's right.
It's fine.
All right. And hopefully you hear our lovely voices again next week. You guys take care.
Bye.